Vertical Missions Night. How we doing? Yeah. Come on now. Guys, I went the first 18 years of my life without eating Chick-fil-A. You say what? I'm from Connecticut. We don't have Chick-fil-A. Like, there's something about the South that you guys just have all the fast food ever that's ever existed. And like, that just doesn't happen up north. So we just don't have a lot of fast food. So I didn't grow up with Chick-fil-A, but I grew up hearing about Chick-fil-A. Now, if you know anything about Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A has this reputation of having the best service ever. Like, I was hearing stories about how you would order food and they would be like, "My pleasure." And I'm like, "What?" Up north, they cuss at you and like tell you to get out of their store. And I'm like, "This is crazy. I've never heard of type of service like this." Like, there is a reputation, there is a renown, there's a name that follows Chick-fil-A. So I had heard a bunch of these stories and I was like, "Man, I have to try Chick-fil-A. Like, I have to experience what I've been told about. Like, there is something there. They have something that I want to experience." So I remember coming to Baylor as a freshman and going to Chick-fil-A for the first time and ordering my meal, and they actually said, "My pleasure." And I was like, "Oh!" They did the thing. Like, they did the thing that they said they were going to do. And I'm like, that was amazing and so cool for me. And then I sat down and they came and brought me my food and they said, "Do you need anything else?" And I was like, "Well, actually, yeah, I need some Chick-fil-A sauce." And they're like, "Well, don't get up. I'll be right back. I'll go get that for you." And I was like, "Oh my gosh. I feel so loved and cared for and taken care of. What is this place?" They were playing Christian music, like Chris Tomlin instrumental. I was like, "This might be heaven. Like, I don't know if I just died, but if I did, then this is for sure what heaven would look like." And then I ran out of Blue Powerade, which Blue Powerade is my favorite drink of all time. And I ran out of it and I was like, "Oh no, like I have to go get up." But no, I didn't, because they came back around and said, "Do you need a refill?" And I was like, "Well, yes, I do." And they just asked me to take the top off, and in 30 seconds, I had more Blue Powerade. And I was amazed at the service at Chick-fil-A. It was the best service of my life. And the reason I tell you that, the reason I start there, is because the renown of Chick-fil-A should be the renown of the church. The reputation of Chick-fil-A should be the reputation of Christians. That it is our pleasure to serve. That it is my joy to serve. That it is my delight to get to serve you. And like my friends just came up here and were addressing and talking about, man, the reason we're talking about this is because there are misconceptions around this idea of service and of serving. And the three that I came up with, which I'm just going to add to theirs, the three that I came up with, the three misconceptions around serving, the number one is that it's for later, it's not for now. That it's for later, it's not for now. It's not for my college years. My college years aren't about serving. My college years are for fun and for school. And then once I graduate, once I get a real job, maybe once I get married, once I do all those things and I settle down a little bit, that's when I'll start thinking about serving. That's the number one misconception. The second misconception that I see is that it's for there and not here. That it's for there and not here. You see, for some reason, we buy this lie or believe this lie that the only opportunities to serve or to be used for the gospel and for the kingdom are somewhere overseas. That I have to go take a plane to go serve somewhere. And the reality is that you can serve right here in Waco. You can serve wherever your two feet are. That is your mission field. That is where you've been called to go and to serve, is right here, right now. You don't have to wait and you don't have to go anywhere. There are opportunities, there's need here. The third misconception that I see often is that serving is for my benefit. That the only way I'm gonna serve is if it is easy or convenient or fits in my schedule. When people become an inconvenience, when they're like difficult or hard, like, I'm not gonna serve that or then. I'm only going to serve when it makes sense for me. And the reality is we've been called, commanded to serve. It's our mission. It's our joy. It's our delight. Not just when it's convenient. So if those are incorrect definitions of serving, tonight I want to give you what I believe is a more correct, more biblical definition of service, which is simply Christ's example and the Christian's delight. That is what it means to serve. That's what it looks like to serve. It's to follow Christ's example, and it's for it to be your delight. And if those two things are lining up, then we're serving. And that is what true, genuine service looks like. So for tonight, we're going to be in a passage of scripture found in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, and we're going to unpack this idea of service. So if you flip there with me, it'll also be on the screen. We're going to read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're going to look at 3 points tonight in that one passage. Point number one is we serve because we care. We serve because we care. Point number two, we serve because we are commanded. We serve because we are commanded. And point number three, we serve to glorify Christ. We serve to glorify Christ. That's where we're going tonight. But before we jump in, let's look at verse 7 as some context. 1 Peter 4, 7 says this, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." You see, I would not be a good teacher of the Bible if I just skipped over this or glazed over this or didn't mention it to you. That the end is coming, that Jesus is returning. That's what this verse is saying, is that he's coming back, which is good news, by the way. We don't have to be fearful or cower at that idea, but we get to rejoice that our God and our King is returning to bring us home. But here's the deal. He's coming. It's not a question. It's a fact. This summer, I got pulled over for speeding. I went 83 and a 55. Ooh, yeah, not good. Not good. We kind of like made eye contact, and I was like, yep, he's coming to get me. But I decided to do defensive driving. So if I do defensive driving, it doesn't go on my record. Praise God. We love that. I have until Friday to do defensive driving. I got pulled over in July. Where are my procrastinators at? Come on, let's go. Here's the deal. If I don't do defensive driving by Friday, I will not only get fined, but arrested. Yeah, not good. I just realized my wife is here, and I don't know if I told her that. But the reason I tell you that is because Friday's coming. Like, it's coming. There's a deadline. Jesus is coming back. That's just a reality. And when he comes back, I don't want to just be waiting for him. I don't want to not know that. I want to live my life in service, on mission, and be like, Jesus, I was ready for you. Look who I'm bringing with me. Like, that's why he's starting here, is because he's reminding us that you have a mission and you are on mission. That is the purpose of your life, to know Jesus and to make him known in this world. So at the very beginning, he is going to say, the end of time is coming. Jesus is coming back. Live on mission. So point number one, why do we serve? We serve because we care. 1 Peter 4:8 tells us simply, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. Did you catch that? That's the gospel. That Jesus left heaven, became a human, took on flesh, lived a perfect life, died the death that you deserve on a cross, rose again 3 days later, walking out of a tomb, victorious and in power, alive because he wanted to forgive you of your sins, past, present, and future, no matter what you've done or thought. There is forgiveness for you because there is grace that covers a multitude of sins. It's Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When you were at your worst day, your worst thought, he loved you. That's when he was convinced and compelled to die for you. That his love covers everything. And the reason we begin to serve is because you have been radically transformed by Christ if you are in Christ. It says, since, right? Because there's good news, now what do you do with that good news? Since you've been covered by grace that covers a multitude of sins, what do? You keep loving one another above all else. You love one another and tell them about this grace that covers sins. You see, BC days, before Christ, in my life, above all else, it was to serve Miles. Above all else, it was to serve me, to please me, to fulfill my desires. But because of new life in Christ, because of grace that is made available to us, it's no longer how can I serve me, but it's how can I serve others? How can above all else, can I consider other people's needs above my own? That is only possible. It's only possible by the grace of Jesus. It's only possible because of the gospel that lovers of self can now become servants of others. It is only by the gospel that lovers of self could now become servants of others. There is radical life change and transformation that happens to us when we experience the forgiveness of sins. And when that happens, not only do we have a new life, not only are you a new creation, but you have a new way of life. So the best service I ever had, Chick-fil-A. The worst service I've ever had, Whataburger. The Texans are so mad right now, but you cannot deny, doesn't matter how much you love Whataburger, why does it take me 2.5 hours to get a chocolate milkshake and a small fry? Every single time I go there, I'm like, hello. Remember me? I was here 3 hours ago. Still haven't got my food. And then they come over to your table and they're like, do you need anything? I'm like, well, I could use some ketchup. And they like just throw ketchup at you. And then it's always dirty in there. And then it just feels like every time I order, they're like, why are you here? And I'm like, I'm here to get food. Like, but why do you like look annoyed at me? You know, it's like, that's the worst service I've ever had in my entire life. It's Whataburger. Sorry, I had to say that. And the reason I tell you that, right, the reason I compare Chick-fil-A, the best service of my life, and the reason I compare Whataburger, the worst service of my life, is because I realized that there was someone there who saw serving as an opportunity, and there was someone there who saw serving as an obligation. You see, the people at Chick-fil-A see serving as an opportunity. It is a joy. It is a delight to get to serve you. I want every opportunity I can to serve you and to go out of my way. And then the people at Whataburger, man, it's an obligation. I'm just here because I have a paycheck, because I have to, because I'm told to. And there's a big difference. There's a huge difference. You know what I'm talking about. You've experienced it. When you've had a good waiter and a bad waiter, you can tell if there's someone there out of opportunity or obligation. So ask yourself tonight,
why do you serve? What motivates you to serve? Is it because it's an opportunity to reflect Christ, to be an example of him? Or is it just an obligation, something you feel like you have to do begrudgingly? Mark 10:45 is the passage on serving. You'll probably hear it a million times over the course of your 4 years here at Baylor, but Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, Christ's greatest act, his greatest act on earth, wasn't the feeding of the 5,000. It wasn't walking on water. His greatest act was an act of service, was laying down his life on a cross, dying for you and me. His greatest act was an act of service. And yet so many of us here tonight want to be served rather than to serve. So many of us would rather be served than to serve. Why is it that what was so valuable to Christ is of no value to us? It was the greatest thing he did. The thing that he put his life down for was an act of service. Why do we value it so little? If Christ gave his life to serve, we should live to serve. If Christ gave his life to serve, we should live to serve. It's our new standard. It's our way of life. It's Christ's example. It is our greatest joy and the highest delight as a believer in Christ. Let's look at point number two. We serve because we are commanded. We serve because we are commanded. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each has received a gift. Use it. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Okay, let's just unpack what's going on in this passage. Okay, so as each has received a gift. That means that everyone here has a gift. So for the people who are like, "I have no talent, like zero talent, can't do anything," wrong. That's bad theology. You have a gift. God has uniquely given you something to be used for his purposes and for his kingdom, for his glory. Like every single person in this room has a gift. The second thing he says is use it. Use it. That's not an invitation. That's not, "Will you do it?" It's not, "Check this box, yes or no." It's a command. He's saying, use the gift that I've given you. I expect you to use it. It's a command. And then he also continues. He says, use it to serve one another as good stewards. That's a weird word. Steward simply means to manage or look after another's property. So you see, the gift that God has given you is actually not your gift. It's his gift. But he's entrusted you with it to use it for his sake and for his glory, for his renown. It's not even your gift. It's just the gift that he's given you. So use it properly. Use it well. He's entrusted it to you. He's asked you to steward it, to be wise with it. Right, there's a group of girls that serve with Vertical. And man, they do Friday dinners. So they just invite a bunch of people over for dinner. And like they have an awesome house where they can host. And that's the gift that they've been given. They've been gifted a house as seniors in college. And they're like, "Hey, we're just going to steward this opportunity, this gift, really, really well. By inviting people in, by hosting them, by sharing a meal, by breaking bread, and by sharing our lives with them and the gospel with them." That's the gift that they've been given. And they're just stewarding that gift. You might be really good at finance. And that can be your gift. And you could steward that gift. You might be really gifted in hospitality. But there are a lot of gifts right here on this field. And that's what he's going to say next. He's going to say, of God's varied graces. Use the gift that you've been given as God's varied graces. That just means various. There's a lot of gifts. And not everyone has the same gift. You have gifts that I don't have. Like, praise God. Right? This is how I think about it, okay? So imagine this group right here was tasked to build a house right here on Fountain Mall. That was our goal. We're going to build a house. But we only had hammers. I just don't know if we're going to build that house. Like, there's just no way. Maybe we could. I don't know. Maybe, like, some of you are engineers and you're like, if we hook the hammers this way and we, like, stack them this way, we could build a house. I just don't think that's a good house. If we all had the same gift, would we be able to build the house? No. If we all had the same gift, would we be able to build the kingdom? No. Like, we are the body of believers. God's gifted us uniquely so that we could work together to come alongside one another. There are 22 different organizations here that have different missions and goals, and we need every single one of them. And we need you to be a part of every single one of them. That you have giftings on your life, and you have a calling on your life that I do not have. And only you can fulfill, because you have been entrusted with the gift that God has given you. You might be like, Miles, what's at stake? Like, what's the matter if I don't use my gift? Like, what's the big deal, bro? Like, if I have a book and it just collects dust, right? Yes. But that's not the point. Imagine if we were all constructing 35. 35 is awful. It's the worst road in the United States of America. And if you live in Dallas and Austin, you know. They've been working on it forever. Imagine if we didn't use our gifts. Imagine if we didn't show up to work. That road, that highway is going to take a lot longer to build. Man, if we don't use our gifts, it's going to take a lot longer to build the kingdom. It's going to take a lot longer to reach every tribe, nation, and tongue if we just choose to hoard our gift, to sit on it, to bury it, to not use it, to not be good stewards of it. And not only that, not only will it take a lot longer, you are actually destroying what God is trying to build. You are actively going against what God is trying to create in this world. And he's trying to create a people. He's trying to create a people who love, delight in service. That is our mission. So if you choose not to serve, you are actively destroying and going against what God is trying to create, which is a people who love service. That's what's at stake. By doing nothing, you are doing something. Proverbs 18:9 says, whoever slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. So we've all been given a gift, and we've all been commanded to use it. Do you know your spiritual gift? That's just a question. Like, think about that. Do you know your spiritual gifting? That's okay if you don't, but it's hard to use a gift if you don't know you have a gift. It's hard to use a gift if you don't know how to use that gift. So the first thing I would do is, hey, take a spiritual gifts test. Or ask people around you who are close to you, who know you, what am I good at? What am I talented at? What do you think the Lord's given me? Find out what you are good at. Find out your giftings. And then serving is everyone's responsibility, because everyone has a gift that they can use to serve others. And again, some of you have gifts that I will never have. And praise God. Like, some of you are going into buildings on this campus that I will never step foot in. And you have a unique mission field. And some of you are geared toward, your brain just works more towards math and sciences, and I wasn't a math major, and praise God. Like, you guys are going to do things that I could never do for the kingdom. And we need you. And you business majors, you guys are going to go all over this country all over the world in business rooms, in business meetings, and have Zoom calls. And you guys are going to get to use your relational skills. You're going to use your knowledge, and you are going to serve a lot of people. And you are going to build the kingdom that way. We all have gifts, every single one of us, and we've been commanded to use them. Point number three. We serve to glorify Christ. We serve to glorify Christ. 1 Peter 4:11 says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Man, this verse is simply saying that whatever your gift is, use it for the glory of God. Whatever your gift is, use it for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. That in everything, God may be glorified. That in everything, whether you are on a soccer field or in a science lab, live in such a way that God would be glorified and he would receive the glory in that room. You see, there can be a temptation to use our gifts, our talents, for our own glory. There's a real strong temptation, there's a real strong pull in my life to use God's things for my glory. To add to my resume, to add to my reputation. There is a strong pull in me. My flesh wants to rush to that and run to that. And I have to remind myself of John 3:30 all the time that he must become greater and I must become less. Serving's not about me. Serving is for the sake of Christ. You see, serving for the sake of getting something in return is not true service. Serving for the sake of getting something in return is not true service. If I'm doing it just because of what will benefit me, it's not service. If I'm doing it just so that I can gain something from it, it's not true service. If I'm doing it so that my name can be magnified, it's not true service. Luke 17:10 just says, we are unworthy servants. We have done only what is our duty. Why would I want an attaboy? Why would I want a good job? I'm just fulfilling my job description. I'm just doing what he's told me to do. If I'm coming to it for any other reason than Christ being magnified, then it's not true service. In John 13, Jesus is sharing his last meal with his disciples, his 12 best friends and some others. They get together, and it's Jesus' last night before he's to be crucified, before he's to be arrested. And he grabs all of his friends in a room, and they're laughing and they're breaking bread and they're sharing stories of the past 3 years of ministry. And the very last thing that he does with his disciples is he gets up from the dinner table. He walks on over to a pitcher full of water. He grabs a basin and a towel. He gets down on his knees. And he begins to wash the disciples' feet. He begins to wipe off all of the muck and the mud and the dirt from his followers. He takes a position that they should be doing. None of them reached for the basin. None of them reached for the water. And Jesus, their leader, their savior, their Messiah, and their king, takes the form of a servant. grabs the tools of a servant and gives us a picture of true sacrificial service, of putting their needs above them, showing them how to live, and telling them to do likewise. And then he shows them again by going to a garden to be arrested, to be hung on a tree, to perform an act that people would reject, that people would never accept or receive or delight in. And he stays on that cross. He doesn't come down because he considers the needs of others above his own. And he chooses to serve people. People who would reject him, people who would mock him, people who would spit on his face. Because he loves them. Serving is Christ's example, and it's the Christian's delight. It is our delight to follow in the steps of the Savior. It is a delight to get to live the way that Jesus lived and to serve his people in the way that he serves us. So in summary, we serve because we care, we serve because we are commanded, and we serve to glorify Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, would you work in our lives right now? Would you give us an understanding of the ways that you've gifted us? Would you give us knowledge of the gifts that you've entrusted to us to steward, to build your kingdom, to advance your gospel, to love the lost, to reach the hurting? Father, would we just look to the cross tonight and be reminded of just true service. Not service to check a box. Not service out of obligation. Not service because we've been told to. But service that just wants to be a part of what you're doing. Service that wants to show other people a love that you display and have displayed to us on a cross. Father, would we serve in such a way that others see the love of Christ? Would we find opportunities right now, today, tonight, to go serve? To be part of your mission here in Waco and your mission abroad and globally, whether that's giving up a month or a summer, whether that's giving up an hour a week, Father, would we just want to desperately desire to be part of what you're doing? Would we be humbled and hyped? Humbled at the opportunity to be invited into your mission, that we get to be a part of it, and would we be hyped to join you? Would we drop it all? Drop everything else to serve you, Jesus, and to serve your people. Father, give us hearts to serve. We beg, we plead, we pray. We love you and adore you, King Jesus. Amen. You guys, I just want you to stay where you are right now. We're going to have a time to respond. The band's coming back up. They're going to sing over you. So I just want you to take this time to pray, to sit with the Lord. And if you sense or feel him moving in your life, to just be like, man, I just want to know more about what's out there. Man, there are 22 tables, 22 organizations, locally, globally, this summer, that you can partner with and be a part of. what God is doing to reach the lost all over the world. Or if you just want to have conversations with a vertical volunteer or me or Anna, we'll be up here. We'll be on the sides. We'll be up at the front. Or if you need someone to just pray with you, now's the time. This time is yours. But we just want you to sit with the Lord and ask him. I mean, is serving an opportunity? Is serving an obligation? Father, how have you gifted me to serve? How might I serve today, this week, or my college years? Take a few moments, and the band will sing over you.